Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Out Loud with me, a chatcast produced, hosted, and humbly offered by yours truly, Natalie P. from my neck of the woods. Actually, today it's neck of the desert. To you in yours. You got the memo, right? There's a universally accepted, irrevocable license to be curious held by every single one of us, and I'm using it to engage others in constructive and enlightening conversation. After too many years of internal chatter, wondering, and physical and mental close calls, I'm ready to think out loud with you. Perhaps in my own search for clarity, connection, community, and ultimately congruence, I can help you find your voice, ignite your curiosity, nudge you even just an itsy bitsy teeny weeny bit in your own favor. I would really like that. I'd like that a lot. You're tuning into episode 8 of Think Out Loud with me. Holy shit, I'm going to geek out on y'all. For most of my career, I've been in the business of helping brands and people and issues build celebrity. And in the process, I've met a few well-known folks. Cool. This episode, though, well, this episode has me meeting someone I've been eyeballing, and I'm not going to lie, I've been kind of drooling over and fascinated with since I moved to town, and I've gotten involved with the founders of Horsetooth International Film Festival. It's an annual gathering in September that has grown to hit some significant radars. The producers and the directors and actors and crew and creatives and ops folks that are walking to the festival and the business of filmmaking in Northern Colorado are unfrickin' believable and unfrickin' believable like today's guest. Andrea Dratch, she is an award-winning actor and producer known for her role as Lita in the award-winning feature film Small Town Remedies, written and directed by R.W. Perkins, that was released in 2020 that she co-produced. She also played Minnie Edwards in Crash and Burn Stories, a feature film released in 2016. She's part owner, along with award-winning director, writer, R.W. Perkins, and award-winning cinematographer and photographer, Andy Carrasco, of Film Locale, a production house based in Northern Colorado. She calls Loveland home, where she's joining me today. I'm tired of hearing myself talk. Andrea, say hi to my listeners and get us started. Let's think out loud together. Hi.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I have been looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to meeting you. And even though it's through a screen, someday, you know, we will meet each other.
We will. I'll get up to dinner.
But yeah, I'm really excited. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Hey, tell me, let's cut to the chase. How does someone of your caliber and your craft, you're an actor and a producer and a filmmaker, how do you practice mental fitness? Let's just get to the ditty of this.
So, you know, I would, in my current life and the lifestyle that I am living, which is a very scattered lifestyle, I chose it. You know, I've chose this lifestyle. I'm a mom, a wife, an actor, producer, a spokesperson. I also am a social media marketing director. I do a lot of, I'm an ordained minister because I also perform wedding ceremonies. But I have a lot of different things that I do. And I know the joke's out there. It's like I dumped the 9-to-5 to work the 24/7. And I think that people who are actually living that lifestyle are like, yes, because I actually have to remind myself at night, someone's calling me from work, you know, and it's 6:15 and I almost answer it. And I'm just lately, you know, just, nope, I have to set boundaries for myself. So a few years ago, I was not practicing very good mental health strategies. And I would say that just over probably about the last 3 years, I have really been working on just staying calm. I've been listening to books. My favorite one right now is The Untethered Soul by Michael Allen Singer. Have you heard of that before?
Mm-mm, not yet.
So that's a crazy story how I was told to read or listen to that book. But yeah. It's very interesting. And so just like I'm in the middle of still every day getting myself to where I need to be mentally, letting things go, not caring what people think, being myself, finding the little girl in me who was, you know, the first moment that person knew, I want to be an actor. I want to entertain people. I want to make films. I want to do this. And just getting back to that person, because I had a lot of interruptions in my life between the time of, you know, being little and then going off to college, studying film, and ending up in New York City, studying acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And then moving back to Colorado, where I'm from, but kind of losing myself in, I was young and I, you know, was back around friends and family and my husband now, my high school boyfriend. And I got myself into a bad rhythm of drinking. I had Thursdays.
Who does that? Bad rhythms, right? Of drinking.
Right. And so I had Thursdays off and, I worked Saturday and Sunday. So in my mind, my weekend was Thursday, Friday, and the rest of the world's weekend was Saturday, Sunday. And I'm really not making excuses, but this was the beginning of when I could always drink a lot in college, but it really threw me into this bad rhythm of then drinking four nights a week because it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I didn't even realize, you know, I knew I could drink a lot because people would praise me for it, but I didn't realize that like slowly my consumption of alcohol was literally turning into 4 days a week. And then it was turning into 5 days a week. And then it was 6 days a week. And I just was like, oh, I can't wait till 5 o'clock. I mean, you see it all over social media, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And the latest one I saw was someone sitting around the wine glass looking at their time for when it's 5 o'clock. And I'm like, in my mind, just thinking, holy shit, you know, these people that are living their lives that way don't even realize like that time. I know it's a joke, but not that time that you might not be sitting just staring at your wine glass, but the time that you spend mentally thinking about when you get to have a drink, which probably starts for me, it started literally in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to stay sober. I have to go to work, but I know I get a drink right after work and I'm going to try to leave early tonight. And it was just so your life gets sucked away from you. And mentally, holy shit. Like I was in deep and I did hit rock bottom with my alcohol consumption. And it was bizarre that I mean, I couldn't even believe that I still, to this day, I've forgiven myself for a lot of it. Speaking of mental, something I'm actually working on right now. So I have forgiven myself for a lot of it, but I quit drinking. It will be 8 years ago, coming up in 2023.
2023,
is that the year?
I don't even know.
2022. But so in 2023, so I will be, I like couldn't even remember how many years. And I told my sister, I was like, oh my gosh, do you remember when we were like, soon we won't even know how many years it's been. We won't even talk about it. But I think it's important for others to know. And so I will be going on 8 years of being alcohol free. And my life has changed so much. And it's not like I don't think I'm a different person because of it. I know more and I've experienced a lot that I think it definitely has changed me a little bit, but I was able to get back to that person I used to be who was so, you know, emotional about chasing their dreams and like, fuck everything. I'm going to just go to New York City with two bags. I've never even been there before because I got into school and I'm doing it. And that person was like completely gone. So it was, you know, I go to work, I come home. I had nothing I was doing creative. I was always like, you're so crazy. You're so fun. You're so this. Like, and so I associated my personality with alcohol and that I needed alcohol to be fun and crazy and cool. And then I started using it to numb my thoughts were and what I was thinking. And I was like, I need alcohol to make it okay that I act how I do.
Right.
And so it really, I had my first son and I didn't drink during pregnancy. I thank God had it in me to stop, but it was hard for me to stop. It was like a reason where I was like, I don't know, we want to have kids, but then I can't drink for 10 months. Right. And then after that, I'm like, how stupid now looking back. I'm just like, I can't even fucking believe that was something that was making me nervous to have children. So I did quit, and I started though drinking again after I was done nursing. And I had tried to quit before I had children. With I knew I was having issues. I actually had physical, like, go to the hospital issues. And I then, you know, had talked myself into, well, I quit during pregnancy and I quit during all nursing. I wasn't doing that. So, I mean, I'm probably fine now. I have a kid. Like, how crazy am I going to get? So, yeah, one night of two drinks turned into the next night of more. And suddenly I'm back on it where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a kid and I'm telling my husband, I need help. I don't know how to come down from this. What the hell has happened? How did this happen so fast? And that's what they say. People, you know, who have had a problem before, it just happens like that. Mm-hmm. So I was terrified. I was embarrassed. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know. I know I needed help bad. I just couldn't believe that I was a mom acting this way. And I still, to this day, I can't believe it, but I understand it enough that I for real have big sympathy for people dealing with addiction, because I literally, like, could not control myself. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even doing it to be drunk. I was doing it to feel normal and to not be, you know, feeling sick. And so anyway, I got help and I knew, and I remember my dad, he looked me in the eye and he was like, cause they were all helping me. And I did have good support system through my family and my husband. Like, shout out to my husband, because I was lucky that he didn't just up and, you know, peace out, I'm taking our kid and leaving. And whenever I say this story out loud, I honestly just can't even believe this. I'm talking about myself,
right?
Because it's so, like, scary, you know. So it's I'm not embarrassed of it anymore because I want to help other people, but I just hope it makes people realize that's what alcohol can do to you. It literally can make you act like someone that you don't even recognize. And people be like, oh, well, the real you is in there somewhere. And I'm like, no, the real me, alcohol was covering up the real me, who was screaming to, like, get help, but just couldn't figure it out. So I finally, yeah, my daddy's like, are you done? Are you sure you're not going to, like, go, like, we're going to, you know, go for the day, let you rest. Are you sure you're not just going to go buy something? And that moment I was like, no, I knew, like, I knew. And I never, every time before I was like, yeah, I'm done. I knew I was going to make it a few months and then start drinking again.
Yeah.
And so then up on 8 years. I was like, I have to be done. Yeah. So I've been done since that day, and my whole life has changed for the better. I would say I've never met a single fucking person that goes, you know, I just really miss the days when I was completely addicted to alcohol and it was controlling my life. No, you never hear someone say that. So yeah, I had to, like, tell a little bit of that backstory.
Yeah, for sure.
Because people literally don't believe me when I tell them I had a problem with alcohol. Like, I have people still, are you sure you're not going to drink again? You're not going to drink. You're never going to drink again. And even friends that have known me a long time. So you really are done. Like, don't you think that you could probably start drinking again? I mean, it's insane. Like, nobody would say this to you if you had a problem with heroin or cocaine. Like, don't you think maybe you're going to, like, shoot up again sometime?
Yep.
So it's just bizarre to me, this life we live in. And I dealt with mental health then with alcohol. So that's what I'm trying to get to, going the long way around.
Cool. I love it.
Then I got to realizing what was creating all of my problems, and it was alcohol. And I had other problems in life, but alcohol made it all worse. And then I quit drinking. And so I was very stressed out. I had, a son, and then I had twin sons, when my oldest was two. So I had done the first feature film just a few months after I quit drinking, and R.W. Perkins was literally like, are you sure this is okay for you? Because you are drinking in this, you know, film. And I wasn't, like, actually drinking, but, you know, some people can get triggered easily. And I was like, no, hell no, I got to do this. And it's a very small part, Minnie Edwards. It's a very funny little part, and in a very serious film that R.W. Perkins wrote. So I played that part and I was just like, oh my gosh, I haven't performed and done this for so many years because of alcohol. And because, you know, so really I was like, oh, this is what I need. So I had my twins, and then we shot Small Town Remedies when they were three, right before COVID.
Yeah.
So like literally we just made it in. And so I had Eli, who was 5, and then my twins, who are 3, just about 3, and we just had moved into a new house, and I was really like, oh, fuck. And nothing was bugging me with playing the alcoholic mom-daughter. It wasn't that. I was just like, oh, my God, am I going to be able to memorize, you know, like, am I going to be able to do this? I have little kids, like, all this. And, you know, so I just was like, yeah, you have to do this for your mental health. Mm. So I did things like when the twins were little, like little funny, I had tuna with a turtleneck, which stood for twat. So that was my Instagram account, my twat account. And after doing so many commercials, I had a lady come up to me and she was like, are you, and she was looking at me all weird. And I thought she was going to say like, you know, are you from Woodley's commercials or what are you from? And she's like, are you tuna with a turtleneck? I was like, oh my gosh. So that handle got far, but I pretty much just, it was like my insanity. I kept saying, doing these little creative things. But now as of just over the last 2 years, I have gone full blown and researched and studied. And I've also been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. So I've been in and out of feeling very sick, but I have narrowed it all down to my life. And I was told that I live life as if there is a bear literally chasing me at every second of every day. So I needed to figure out a fucking way to get myself under control mentally. I don't consider myself a extremely stressed out person. I'm not anxious. I do get anxious, but not like I did when I drank. And so I had to figure out, how can I get a hold of myself and really find out who I am again? I've been through alcohol addiction. I've been through, you know, college. I've been through getting married, having children, working retail, like losing myself, finding myself. I'm a mom, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, I never really, in my adult life, since I was, you know, late 20s, actually was just like thinking about myself and my mental health, because I never really thought I needed to.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. I relate to you in so many ways. I can't even tell you. It's the getting sober part, the waking up, the realizing, it is for me. It was a moment as well where you just know, going the way that you want it to go, this is probably not going to end well. And it's kind of a blip that happens that says, you've got something you need to correct here and at least put your hand out. Right. Absolutely 1000% hats off to you for charging through. And the forgiveness, I wrote down a bunch of notes. The forgiveness factor, I think, bubbled up for me listening. You know, as I know this about you without knowing a lot about you, is that you live out loud. Our story, you know, being an alcoholic, being addicted, living out loud, the concept of lived experience. As a teacher, you know, that we go through life feeling like we're not worthy of our story. And, you know, we kind of stand at the edges of it and hustle and do our thing and never really own it and find the power in it. And I sound like Brené Brown at this point, but the turning point when forgiveness happens on what you realize is the script that you have, that you've completely flipped. And so that the reset is completely up to you. It really is up to you. That's it. Nobody else on this. There's nobody else that needs to be involved in this. It's with you. And some folks never have the opportunity. Maybe some will because they hear you and me, you know, coming together. How did you find, you had your family, you had your husband. How did you find sobriety? Did you quit cold turkey? You just go for it? How'd you do it?
So, yeah, to touch back on that, you're right. We are doing this. And that's why it used to be hard for me to talk about this stuff, because it was so embarrassing to me. But then I started helping people with talking about it, and literally have told people that they quit drinking because of me. They have realized they have a problem. They thought they were the only mom. I saved their life. I mean, it's like, not like my husband, I've come home and been like, oh my gosh, listen, like, and I'm like, that's why, really. And that's why with the film Small Town Remedies, and where I really started feeling comfortable talking about, because people were reaching out to me with their stories and they were being so open. And I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to help people. And it like clicked, like, oh my gosh, this is how I can help people with my, you know, being creative, with acting, with telling stories. And that is to where I really, you know, it's just my passion. It's not just, it's so much like with what I do with acting, it's just over the years grown into so much more of than what people would even, you know, think of, like, oh, I still get the like, oh, you're trying to be famous. And they just don't understand that people who are so passionate about this, it really is the little moments where, you know, people reach out to you after, you know, they heard you talk after shooting a film. And I'm like, that is literally the only, like, the only thing that will get me through how hard it is to be in this profession. And being open, and people want you to be open. They want to know you, and they want to observe you, and they want to know everything. And it's like, okay, do I want to like let everything out there? But really, once you decide that you're not the only person, or once you realize you're not the only person that is having these issues, it's millions of people. Then you're like, well, shit. If I talk about it, this person's gonna be like, oh, that's my life. Like, you know, so once we all start talking about it is really when we're going to be helping each other. But I don't remember what you asked me.
I asked if you used a program. Okay,
when did I decide like to be, how did I get sober? So I tried multiple times. And then, the last time when I was like, this has to be it, I, did go to therapy. I had to come down slowly, because I would get very, very sick, very anxious. I like couldn't even not answer the phone. I couldn't see people. I was like a freak. I mean, it was like, I was just like, compared to how I usually am, it was just freaking me out that I was acting this way. So in my life, you know, of knowing what it's feels like to go through that, I've helped other people with saying, you will get through it. I did decide, I didn't go to AA. People have asked me, you know, did you go to AA? Did you read books? Did you do this? I went to therapy, and I also learned that alcohol is, if I didn't put alcohol in my body, I wouldn't have been having all of these issues. So really, nothing is wrong with me. This is the way I like to look at it. And I know we touched that in Small Town Remedies. Some people really believe it's a full blown disease, and that is, you know, it's their disease. My disease is rheumatoid arthritis. I have autoimmune disease, but my disease is not alcoholism with me. And the reason is because now living completely sober for so many years, I don't have any of these issues that alcohol brought. So I just get sick of, I get sick of that, you know, pinning the people when I'm like, I know a lot of people that, you know, don't drink, and they're a different person. My husband, he can like buy beer on Halloween, and it's still in our fridge the next summer. And that's how I live now. It doesn't bother me. I'm never trying to like, I'm so over it. My life is so much better without it. So in the beginning, though, I mean, it was weird. I just knew I was a mom, and I just fucking knew that if I didn't quit now, I was going to lose my family, kill somebody, kill myself, you know, not on purpose, but I was like, I was drinking so much that normal people don't survive stuff like that. But yeah, and then from there, I really did throw myself into acting, and I just got super creative, and I started performing again, and I was like, okay, you know, this is what I was missing. And I was filling in moments of being creative and fun and crazy with just sitting on a porch drinking. Mm-hmm. And, I lost a lot of years, but I learned a lot. And even with my agency, they were like, well, what were you doing between like 2000? And I'm like, and I just straight up was like, I was drinking. I'm like, there's literally no other way for me to explain this. I was working retail and I was drinking. And I, in my mind, was like, I'm not worthy of, you know, having an agency. I'm not worthy of this. I looked like a different person because beer, like I was just so unhealthy, you know, in my physical appearance that I was not happy with myself and how I wanted to be. And just overall, like physical and mentally, you know, my life, completely changed. And I think that is what helps people so much, is just hearing someone literally talk about, like, I mean, you know, I was hiding it. I would drink with other people. I wasn't like sit in my closet and drink, mm-hmm. but I was like, sit in my closet, drink a few drinks before I go hang out with everyone and drink, so they don't know how much I'm drinking.
Right.
And people are like, oh my gosh, yeah, I started hiding it. I can't believe I was doing this. You know, I had someone come up to me the other day and we just started talking about it. And they're like, I didn't know you used to like drink. And other people too, they're like, you know, when you said you don't drink, I was like, that's so cool. I wish I could do that.
Right. I get that too.
And so I used to make people like, how do you order? Like, what do you do on girls night? Aren't you so embarrassed? And you know, what do you order? And so this really to help people, anyone out there listening, I mean, all these things went through my head. How am I going to hang out with my friends? How am I going to go to the brewery? That's where all my friends go.
Right.
How am I going to order a non-alcohol beverage? What is everyone going to think of me? What are people going to think when I go to a party and I'm not having a drink? Should I like fake it? Should I hold like a, you know, like how, what am I going to do? Like on Sunday mornings when we all go out for brunch and everyone's drinking mimosas, what am I going to drink? And it was just like crazy. And so I took all these steps in my life and I made it through the beginning. And then I made it through, you know, my birthday, and then I made it through New Year's, and I made it through Christmas. And then I made it through a whole year of being like, oh, I wish I could have a drink on New Year's, mm-hmm. but I don't. Oh, I wish it's Christmas Eve and everyone's drinking, you know, spiked eggnog and I don't get to enjoy it, but I got to enjoy eggnog. And just starting to see my physical change and my mental change and my friendship and my relationship with my husband and my son, and then my sons, and then my sister, who my older sister, which she became sober before I did. Mm-hmm. And she and I were back and forth, like, you know, you have a problem, you have a problem, you have a problem. We used to drink and party and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I had her to help me through the first year of, you know, we're like, we're sober together. We are the sober sisters. And it's my sister, Jacqueline, who's an artist. And we are both like super creative and out there. And oh my gosh, we used to think like, let's drink and talk crazy.
Yes.
And now we're like, we don't drink. We just talk crazy. And we act on our, you know, we act on it. And we're making changes in our lives. And we're into our 40s. And we are still fucking going. And we get people all the time like, what? How? Like, you look good for that. Why is your, you know, and I'm like, I don't drink alcohol. I mean, what lotion do you use? I don't drink. I mean, really, I do think like it does help a lot just by, you know, how you just feel about yourself.
There's not a cell in anybody's beautiful body that wants that alcohol. It just doesn't.
No. And so I guess, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's just like everything, once you get there and you make that decision to quit, that's not the only decision you're making is like, I have to quit. You are making a decision to make your life better. You're making a decision to make your relationships better. You're making a decision to make your mental health better. You're making a decision to feel better about yourself, to look better. You're making a decision to cut your fingernails and comb your hair and brush your teeth at night. You're making a decision not to wake up in bed smelling like alcohol, half naked, not remembering what happened the night before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like,
yeah,
because I think so many people, they just think like, oh, I have to quit. And it's that one little word of, but you're actually just, you are not just quitting something. You are gaining literally everything else back in your life that you, in my one quote, I say that you forgot you were missing. Mm-hmm. Because you forget mm-hmm. how normal and beautiful life can be when you're not every second looking, when does the liquor store open? It's 7:30. I'm like feeling like anxious and it's Saturday. And you know, it's just, it sucks. And I just want people to know out there that like it's scary and it sucks. And it's really hard to picture your life any different because you just become immune to that being your life. But you can. And I tell people, I'm like, I'm not trying to one-up your drinking habits, but I do need people to know that the amount of alcohol that I was drinking and I did hit rock bottom. So if I can do it, literally anyone can do it. You don't have to hit rock bottom. You don't have to fucking hit rock bottom. You know, and it doesn't have to be, do I have a, you know, problem? You can literally just make a decision to say, you know, I am pretty much drinking wine every night at 5 and I'm sick of it and I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then just see what happens in your life.
Yeah.
So it's scary when you make that final, you know, decision to quit because our society makes drinking a normal part of life.
It makes it a huge.
Yeah, you know, it's what we do as humans. I mean, and now it's even the mommy, like that. I'm like, thank goodness I quit before that because I would have been dead, you know?
Yeah.
I saw these moms out sharing in plastic wine glasses when my twins were probably like 2. So I was done drinking. And then, you know, you're just seeing these things like, oh my gosh. And these moms are out at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, sitting at a park, sharing a bottle of wine in plastic wine glasses. And I'm just like, man, and I don't want to be mean to them or judge them. Our society literally makes that like, these are your travel wine. Mommy,
and they make memes and they make plastic cups. Yep.
You know, so it makes you think it's okay. And I think so a lot of people down deep know it's probably not okay. But when the rest of the world is doing it, hell, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. let's do it too. I mean, you know, I had a lot of fun times drinking. I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of funny, fun moments. Right. But none of that outdoes all the fun and the life of feeling free that I am living now.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just can't, I like can't even like talk.
Time when I, the day, of course I don't, but like when I stopped thinking about it, it was pretty early on. Cause I think like you, I just, you know, I woke up and had just that realization that no, this is going to end in a massive train wreck and somebody's going to get hurt. I think the big wake up call was just how much of a numbing agent I had been applying to myself for so long, that to deal with, any kind of anxiety, I used alcohol to tamper some pretty, what I know now is empath tendencies and highly sensitive. Well, give me a glass of wine, especially red wine, so I can just bring it all down, you know, and take my anxiety. At the same time, I'm waking up in the middle of the night with panic attacks that put me in the hospital, right? Because of my high blood pressure and all the things I've got going on. But the realization where you, you know, no, you don't have to hit rock bottom. Where am I going with this? The trudge through society and the doubting of where alcohol fits into your life, making excuses for where it fits, where you know, we know down deep in our gut, it changes us.
Mm-hmm.
I think where I've really hunkered down is this is the first time where I've been as clean and clear, where there's no inner, you know, there's no, I get to make these decisions. I get to make these choices. This is real. And I get to re-engage. I'm giving myself another chance at this and not going to screw this one up. Right. Still fucking it up left and right, but forgiving myself, because at least I can remember and apologize quickly.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I love,
you know, it's true though. And it's amazing where I feel like things that, you know, in the past, years that I do have moments of going, oh my gosh, if I've been drinking during this situation, oh man, it would have sucked. Like, because I've been through some really stressful things and I just am so happy that instead of, you know, drinking through it, I just process it. I feel the emotion. I do whatever, you know, comes from it. And then I just am like feeling pretty much better by the next day or a few days after that. And, it's amazing where like certain situations would go in the past when I was drinking during dealing with big situations in life. It was not good. I mean,
drama.
Yeah. It's like so much drama. And I mean, my husband and I, we, you know, have our fair share of like disagreements or whatever. I mean, we've been married for almost 15 years. We raise children, we deal with finances, we, you know, but at the same time, I mean, holy crap. Like, we just don't, or if we have a little bit of a, well, you did this and it's gone the next day or that after, honestly, not even the next day, that like after the argument's over, we're just like, okay, let's move on. And I, you know, back, like our arguments just don't even exist anymore really, because I mean, we don't agree on everything, obviously, but it's just like crazy, you know, those, or even with my sister, or if we've had a moment of, my sister and I had like a very serious, you know, conversation slash argument. In the past, we both been drinking. We wouldn't even have known what we were even trying to talk about or, you know, or any of it. So nothing would have actually been resolved. We would have just still been mad, or we wouldn't have even remembered we did.
And it gets drawn out and it lasts weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And then you go through the guilt of like, oh my gosh, what did I say? What did I do? And you like memories will come back of like, oh, I remember talking to so-and-so last night. I don't even like, I hardly even remember that. Oh my God, what did I say to them? Mm-hmm. Because I was mad the day before at them or whatever. Like, you know, and now if I say something to someone like this interview here with you today, I'm not going to get off of here and be like, I can't believe I told her that much of my story. I'm feeling, you know, because I am sober and I'm talking to you and it's fine. And I'm making these decisions to say what I am saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were like the worst when you wouldn't remember what happened the night before, or like I would be home and I didn't know how I got home. Yeah. People just don't, they're like, what? So people that don't have a problem, the other people are like,
I know. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I've gotten that in my life. Like, you always seem like you always had it under so much control. I'm like, I was a hot mess. And you know, my nickname's Happy Hour. And you know, you saw me with a great big ball, the big ball jar with vodka and water. That was me. And you know, I was the older mom, because I had my kiddo later. So all the youngsters, I was the party starter, you know, like I was the one starting that 11 o'clock brigade of strollers. Like, let's get this party started. I'm the elder here. I can take, you know, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I've been doing this for years. You'll be fine. You know? I wanted to briefly touch on just I want everybody to see Small Town Remedies. I was sharing with you before we started recording that I have, that it touches me personally, just the story of it. And I wanted to just ask you, you know, I know you've answered the question a zillion times, but what was it like playing Lita? It's a hard story to watch. For some folks, it's a hopeful story, mm-hmm. no matter. But talk to me about, just the movie and kind of the short trailer of it, and what it's like to play, someone, in such a, it's a powerful role of addiction and being the daughter of an addict and being in a codependent relationship with an addict brother. And like, there's so many different dynamics in this film. I just mm-hmm. wanted to think out loud with you a few minutes about mm-hmm. what it was like to play Lita and how you went into character and what that was like.
Yeah. So we, when Randy first, started talking about Small Town Remedies with me and, you know, he's like, okay, so this is about a mom who has it, you know, going through relapse, and then it turned into, now it's more about Lita, your character, you know, if you're going to be playing this character. And then it turned into Lita is just a wreck. She's a total bitch, pretty much, like no one's going to like her at the end of the movie. And then you'll be perfect for it. And I was like, fuck yeah.
And sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. So it was like I've said before, I don't have issues where I'm filming this film of a woman who uses alcohol and opioids and that it was going to trigger me in any way. I am very lucky. Somehow I made the decision to be done. And so with this film, because I had people asking me, like, weren't you like triggered to drink for real or anything? Like, you know, because you have of your past. So anyway, it was, Lita is a very different person than I am, but very similar. So it was interesting getting into her mindset. I never had used opioids. I never helped my mom, you know, mom through relapse. There's a lot of things within the story that I did so much research on, you know, opioid use and all that to bring into it. I went from past experiences of my own, and then I came up with just things for Lita and what is she scared of? What does she want? What is, you know, typical things with actors, but also just things like what is, you know, some people like to dive really deep. What is her favorite, you know, character on a sitcom? Like little things that really can create all this that, you know, you in your life see and do. So beyond just like, this needs to be a messed up lady that has alcohol and drugs and is dealing with a messed up family. You have to be able to find the soul of that person and really, you know, find who's under all of this. And so that was one thing that I actually had people, you know, reach out after to say it, that I wanted people to see through Lita, even though you could see her on the outside, the very outside of this mom, just like, you know, sleeping around, doing whatever, doing what, you know, has this amazing husband and son and is just living this life of complete chaos that she has brought on herself. So the whole time I wanted people to, it was hard to, you know, show that through. But I think that once I've figured out that, you know, in my own life, I definitely towards the end was just like, I hope everyone can see who I really am and not just see me for this outside person that I've created for the world to see. Mm-hmm. That makes sense at all.
I think it
does. I got in that character. I do really fall into it. And it was weird. We shot that film in 8 days in Loveland. And so my mother-in-law helped every day. My husband helped every day so I could do this, but it was bizarre. I mean, there's one very upsetting scene in it. And I came home that night at like 12:30 at night, in the morning, I mean. And I was like, I can't, because that's my son who's in the film. So I come home from this
crazy
filming and I was like, this is terrible. Like not the film, but this is terrible. My son can't be in this film because I was like Lita, and this sounds so crazy, but I was like, I can't have like my son cannot be connected to something that is like this. This is so awful. I can't believe I'm acting this way. Like, it was so bizarre, and I kind of came out of it, but I really just stayed in character for the most part, all the days. I hung on to it just enough because I like to just have it right there. I always joke that like my head opens and I have these characters and I bring in things from life and I just put it in my head and I keep it there so I can bring it out when I need to use it and I need to get that emotion across. And I need people to feel it, you know, and they need to see me feel it so they can feel it. So with Lita, I just was like, this lady is going to hopefully change lives. And she's not a character. She is a fucked up mom. And so I just had to, be as real as I possibly could. I always say, fortunately, if, you know, I hadn't dealt with what I had with alcohol, I don't know that I could have done enough. I don't know. I think that people can get a sense, and pretty much everyone in their life has someone, a sibling, a child, a mom, a sister, a brother, a spouse that's dealt with addiction in some form. So I think that you can't imagine what it would be like. But for me, it really did help with knowing that exact feeling and the scene, you know, without giving too much away. But at the end, it was very easy for me to get there. And even though I was in character, I found that person within me that was like, this could have literally been my life with my 5-year-old, but luckily he was a newborn when I decided to stop. Mm-hmm. And so just seeing that and being like, this could have been easily my life, but somehow I lucked out and I had the power to not make it my life. And so that, there were days that R.W. Perkins and Andy and half the other cast just saw me like, I was so worn out and I was in this character. And one day it was even a sad line and I just started crying. I was like, okay, I got to pull myself together because I had so much going on, you know?
I think watching it, you know, I think you do it's a fabulous job and it's.
Thank you.
Watching it, I think the reason why I related to it so much was knowing what you're saying, that, you know, we all start with this core and we, you know, before we have a chance to know how to protect it, it's, you know, as young folks, we're getting layers upon layers upon layers of, you know, things that are outside of our control, some things that we have control over, but we don't have it's not an educated decision that we make because we're young and fool, whatever the case might be, that by the time, you know, we get to places wrapped up in addiction and the layers that society places on us, you know, mm-hmm. we're just these, to me, it's, I saw like watching your character, it was just sadness. Like, it's just like wanting so badly to be something, but so buried, and underwater, just trying to stay, you know, just stay afloat, just stay afloat and keep it all going. Just keep it all going. If I can just keep it all going, I'll be okay. You know? And it's just right here. It's just right nose mm-hmm. above water. Right.
And just that thinking that, you know, that was definitely that character. And I definitely find that myself of, I'm not worthy, you know, finding anything to numb it out, whether it's alcohol, opioids, cheating on your spouse,
like, absolutely.
Which alcohol definitely leads into that a mm-hmm. lot. Mm-hmm. And so just all of it of just numbing, you know, and I'm not worthy. So it doesn't matter if I just sleep with this person or if I drink this or whatever, like, even though I have a really amazing family and you don't need a family, you can just, even though I'm a human being and I'm amazing, you know, to just realize that, you, how quickly you can just be in that mindset, just like, I don't deserve this. I don't need any of this.
And
this is, you know,
deprioritize all of those things that matter to you. And it's not willingly. I don't think I ever willingly put my son at the bottom of my list. I didn't set out to do that to him, you know, but it somehow wound up that way. And, pulling yourself out. And I think that's too, that I give you massive props for, is that you are modeling, you know, we are modeling mm-hmm. for our children how mm-hmm. to, because that's not, I found my addiction very young, you know, watching my own parents struggle with their own mental health using alcohol and religion and all kinds of different things to really try and make their life seem perfect, you know, when underneath everything, it was a fucking mess, you know? And I don't say that like you're saying, I'm not trying to judge it. I'm not mad. I'm not trying to get rid of it. It is what it is. And I am who I am because of all of it, but I'm not going to repeat that kind of stuff. No.
Yeah.
Not going to repeat it.
Yeah. Again, babes. I read something. I said, the greatest gift you can give your child is being sober.
Mm-hmm. Just present.
And it is. I mean, think you grow up and like, I was, you know, being, you're 18, you can buy cigarettes. You're, you know, 16, you can drive. 18, you can buy cigarettes. 21, hell yeah, you get to go out and drink. Here's your drink. Your parents, you know, here's your drinks. Aunts, uncles, like friends, like my parents' friends were buying bottles of vodka when I turned 21. And I just remember, you know, so going off of like what life has like layered on you over, you know, from growing old and, you know, I'm not like definitely can't like blame parents for any of this. I mean, but really you think back to like the 80s and I mean, people knew that there was like addiction and alcoholism, obviously, but it was not like today. Like there was not, people weren't openly talking to just each other about it. Mm-mm. And there was a lot of drinking going on. It was just part of life. You drink beer, you know, you drink wine and it still is. It mm-hmm. still is a normal part of life, but there's been a whole other culture that has really been able to find other people that are like, you don't need alcohol to have fun. Yeah. And so many children too, that, you know, people have said, well, you're not going to like tell your kids everything about this, are you? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I am. I'm giving my kids a chance to say, oh, so you mean in college when I, talking about myself, was able to out chug 3 football players, me against 3 lined up in a row, chug beers and beat all 3 of them. They each chug 1 beer. I chug 3 in like under 2 minutes or something crazy. Oh, that means I should have like thought about that. Maybe I have a problem with alcohol and not like, Andrea is so awesome. She can drink so much.
Isn't that,
you know,
crazy?
And teach my children that later of what I've learned down the road. And it is stuff like that, that if you can, like, if everyone is praising you for the amount of alcohol you can consume, you got to be careful, man, because your body and your mind can't process that. Mm-hmm. So that just, you know, for me, really, I go off to the physical side of it. But yeah, it's in our life. It is what you do when you go to college. And I think when you turn it into a problem though, you also think it's more in your life than maybe it is in terms of later on in life. I found out like, oh, I thought your parents like drank a lot when we all hung out. And I'm realizing that they only have like 1 drink and they always have. But you know, like, in my mind, I was like, they all drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know,
that's crazy.
But lots of people that have knew me in the past, they're like, we love the new you better. You know, and the people that never even knew me drinking, I do get them like, well, I bet you were so fun. And, you know, it's like, no. And so it's so weird. It's so weird that, you know, those comments that come out of people of, I don't need alcohol to be fun.
No. Well, I'm glad I know the sober you and I'm tickled to get to think out loud with you. I hope, we've talked about sobriety, which I knew we would, and mental fitness, and ways to keep our noses above water. Will you come back and think out loud with me about more as we get to know each other? And I'm coming up with different topics and things to noodle on with people that I think, well, even in just in the creative space and inspiring mm-hmm. others to find their voice through expression, like the arts and like acting mm-hmm. and, you know, finding little passions and little things for the mental fitness of it. Mm-hmm. And I think not towards the end that, Natalie wants to be, as I say, all sunshine all day, every day. That's not the point of all of this. There's mm-hmm. going to be shit that hits the fan. There's going to be shit that happens in our lives. Yeah. But how do we maintain our sanity enough where it's less of a massive jolt inside of the head kind of bust, you know, that we are completely traumatized by, and something that versus something that we can actually, in a lot of cases, see coming. And or we're in a space where if there's something big coming, we're okay mentally that we've got the reserves, we've got the tools, we've got the people, we've got the, our legs are sturdy underneath us, that mm-hmm. if something heavy hits, all hell doesn't break loose. It's mm-hmm. just a, oh, whoa, 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 this is big. Let's everybody take a big deep breath and let's figure out how to tackle this. Right. I think recovery time, and being mentally fit, being able to take a blow and keep on ticking, if you will, is part of what I'm after as well, which I would assume in acting in creative land is something you just get up and keep taking takes. That's what it is. Just take one, take two, take three, mm-hmm. take four until mm-hmm. you get it right.
Yeah.
Until you finally get it. Mm-hmm. To do something in 4 days is, that's amazing. I didn't know that that happened.
Yeah. 8 days. Yeah.
8 days. Yeah. That's insanity.
Yeah.
That's insanity. And then you go win awards and do your thing and still climb. Are you working on other films? What are we looking for from you?
So I, at this moment, we have the Womanhood, the series that's out there in the film festival circuit. And then we do have that. We just did the 5314, which I was just mostly on production. You can see a blur of me in that, but we did that for, Julian, his band, Fulco Perrin, that we just did. And then, I just for the first time in my life got an agent, which, you know, I was working towards, and my children now are all in school, and I work from home. I schedule my own days. I do so many different things. I also, decided like it's just time. And with the help of Diane Bell, I don't know if you follow her at all, but she is just really a good, positive person to listen to and really push you to what, you know, everyone has their dreams, but the reason a lot of people don't reach them is like, we're saying, because it's scary and you know, you're going, well, what if I do get this part in? Cause I'm going to be represented in Colorado and New Mexico and looking into getting an agent, in LA and New York. And if I want to reach my goal, which is to be working on big productions and meaningful productions, and I just know that there's a spot for me out there, you know, and people that will need me and I'll need them, and we will have something amazing to do together, something big to work on. So I was just like, I have to go. I have to do this. I'll be 70 and I'll be like, why didn't I do that why didn't I do that? You know, now it's been 30 more years and I'll be getting an agent then. So it's scary because it's like, you know, I just get project after project in Colorado, and I consistently do commercials. We're shooting 2 commercials next week. And so I just have work and it's comfortable and it's fine and I'm here, but I'm like, this isn't fully fulfilling me. And I need to show my kids what it looks like to do this. And so I'm feeling really good about my future. It is weird. Eventually, you know, when we're talking about addiction, I dive into the alcohol and all of that. But really, in my life today, alcohol is not part of it. And I get little moments of, like, recently when I was in Florida and I was like, this is amazing. I don't, like, even wish I was having drinks on the beach with all these people that are, you know, those little type of, like, it's never like, oh, I wish I could be drinking. I'm very lucky with that, but it really, it's almost blows my mind how now I am just, you know, people know me that I used to drink or whatever, but a lot of people don't even know that about me. And I'm not hiding it or, you know, obviously, but I just decided to move on, and I forgave myself for a lot of things that mm-hmm. happened in those years. And some things I would have a hard time forgiving someone else for doing it, but I had to forgive myself. And I am the Untethered Soul, by Michael Allen Singer. This artist just told me, like, you have to listen to this book.
Thank you for
thank you.
Thank you for taking time to think out loud with me. And thank you for being real and letting me meet you and letting me in on your brain and really just helping me create a space, participating in my space that folks can listen in on. My intention, as I told you when we first met for this chat cast, is to really empower others to think out loud and ask questions, even the questions that sound stupid and giddy because they're nervous or, you know, whatever, that mean, you know, that we all have a chance at a softer landing, you know, and that we're all in this together. So I appreciate you. Your magic is creativity to a degree that just fascinates me. And you have a fan in me. Your ability to express through characters is pretty tremendous. And I hope folks will find you. Your IG handle is just your full name, Andrea Dratch, right? That's your IG. And then AndreaDratch.com is your full website. Mm-hmm. What else can we leave folks with?
Yeah, it's been so great. Thank you for having me. This has been really a nice conversation. And yes, very real. I mean, we're lucky that we found each other and that we can talk. And hopefully there's someone out there that, whether it's them or someone they love, dealing with, you know, it doesn't need to be alcohol. It can be any sort of addiction, that they can just know they're not alone. And I know I say that and everyone's like, cheesy, but it's not. It's, you feel very alone. You feel like there's no end. You don't, maybe something has happened legally. Maybe, you know, you are just feeling like this, there's no way out of this. This is it. This is so embarrassing. No one's gonna, you know, believe me. No one's gonna care about me. No one's gonna, you know, wherever you are, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're dealing with, there truly is
you're
a better
it.
Place. There's, mm-hmm. you're worth it. There's something else for you. You need to just keep believing in yourself. Find what it is in life that makes you excited. That's not a substance. And we all have something in us. We know, we like find that little kid in you and be like, what did they, you know, just really look at yourself in the mirror and love yourself. And you have to love yourself. You have to forgive yourself. And because really, I mean, there, no matter what is happening in your life, you have the ability, you do, to change it. And it's not up to anyone else, and no one else is going to do it for you until you want to change your life. You have to be the one pushing you to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know that because I had many moments of, I knew people wanted me to change my life and I didn't, you know, I thought I wanted to, I knew I needed to, but I wasn't ready to. And so until you're ready to, just be honest with yourself and reach out, and really you will find people that it's happened to and people you wouldn't even know. And that happens to me a lot. And they tell me things that I tell them, don't leave here and wish you didn't tell me this. You told me this for a reason. And it's because I could tell you my story. Yep. And it's so that you know that I'm not judging you and that you can now move forward. You know, you can do this. And it does. It gets super cheesy, but it's what, it's the way it has to be.
The cheese
it
has to happen. Be,
you know, it's got to happen because you can change your life. And the whole like one day at a time thing, it's fucking right.
That's pretty true.
It is. And then suddenly you look back, you're like, holy shit, that one day of my life was like how many years ago? Yep. And it goes for anything. It's not just quitting something. Yep. It's doing something new. You know, anything you want to do, it's one day at a time, mm-hmm. and focus on that moment, and you are capable of great things.
Yep. Yep. I heard a couple days ago.
Thanks for having me.
Complex. We have to go through the complex. Everything starts out complex. And once we get through the complex, it's simple. But you have to, you've got to come over this complex, right? For the simple, you have to get through the routine, the rearranging, the new this, that, or the other. So I'm really glad that our paths crossed. I'm glad that I geeked out over you and decided to keep stalking you weirdly, commenting on your IGs and saying, I'm going to meet you someday, I swear. So no, I really do appreciate you accepting my invitation. I hope you'll come back and think out loud with me.
Yes.
I've got
no, we should touch base on like the, they say sometimes it's been said, I should say, that actors are some of the healthiest people mentally because they put themselves through so many different emotions in life that they, and then they learn how to deal with it and they learn how to listen and be. And I find that like, I just found that very funny and interesting. Because a lot of people tease me that I am a woman of multiple personalities. Yes. And they're like, what is it like to have a mom with multiple personalities, my kids? And, you know, I just like to feel it all. And I do think that that would be fun, you know, to go into that more, the life of being in acting and just, I had a day where I was taking a shower and I was like, wait, I've been so many characters and I've missed out on a lot of my own life being someone else.
I can't even imagine.
I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, wait, what's so wrong with my life that I want to be other people? But, you know, I would say, people say, how do you get there? How do you, you know, how do you cry? That's one I get a lot. How do you cry? And I go, well, you know, when people write like something really bad has happened to someone else and they write how I can't imagine what it would feel like to lose a mother. I am so sorry. People write, I can't imagine what it would feel like to lose a child. I can't imagine what it'd be like to lose a husband. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And so I was thinking about that this other day and I was like, oh my gosh, the, I can't imagine is people's way of saying they can't imagine. And all actors do is put that imagining what it's like, or they take from parts of their body and they put it into that character. Because literally when we say we can't imagine, we can, but we don't want to go there. We don't want to actually go to that moment of believing it happened. And so like, yeah, in Small Town Remedies, I could imagine what it would feel like, the end scene. I could imagine what that would have felt like in my own life. And then I put it and it was in my character and it happened to her. So it's just, it's so fascinating. Like when I even really think about like why I do this and I'm like, what is wrong with me? But nothing is, it's just, it's my running. It's my reading. It's my, I need to do this to be sane. I really do.
I'm so glad that you are. I do.
I love it.
Thank you so much. I like that concept. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you bring it,
I can't imagine. And yes, they can, but it is, it's about bringing imagination to life so that they can deal with it, consume it. And that's a really, that's cool to think about. Yeah. Cause that is, it's Rolodex, right? People are like, I can't imagine they go through, you know, media experiences, they come across a situation and they speak and it's based on what I've been through, I can't imagine. Based on what they have been through, they probably can, like you're saying. And it's just scary. It's really
scary. Yeah. And it's like, once you become a parent, I was like, no one told
me. Nobody told. That's a whole different ball of wax.
And it is. And it's like, and it's crazy. Because I mean, how many times do you unwillingly, you're like, I don't want to be thinking about that. But like, oh my gosh, what would happen if something happened to my child? What would happen if something happened to my child? What would happen if they got hit by a car? What would happen if someone took them? What would happen? I mean, just constant of like, you know, because that is my biggest fear in life is that, but I have even found ways to deal with the fear of something happening and realizing if you sit and worry about it, then if something happens, you're going to be worrying twice and you just have to even that, take it day by day. But so it's like in the end, when people say, I can't imagine what it's like to lose a child. I'm like, if you're a parent, I'm sure you have full blown imagined what would happen to you. And it's not good. But for actors and for other people, you know, that do so much mental health work, you find a way that, you know, and I have a really good friend that her sister died when her sister was 16 and I grew up knowing their family really well. I mean, I called them my other mom and dad and was with them. And I just have always looked at them because they're incredible people and been like, I will be, if something ever happens that bad in my, like that in my life, that, you know, big of a tragedy, they are okay. Mm. And somehow we will be okay and we can go through it. But living your life being scared of everything that can happen to you isn't living your life. And so, you know, that's a whole other ball game that I'm working on too. It's hard. Life is, I was like, we're all walking around, like, we're buying groceries. Like, do we all realize we're just on this fucking planet? Like, what is going on? Like, what is going on, you guys?
There's holding like up cucumbers, holding up peppers.
I always say, like, I always think of us as little ants, like, all the time. And my dad, he teases me about it, my mom, because, like, yeah, like, we're always little ants. And I'm like, I especially love it, like, we're all going to a concert or, like, eating out. Or, like, we're all like, trying to get our kids from school and we're all over there. And, like, we get in that mood at our house and move all of our shit around. Like, oh, look at this room now. I'm going to move it all. Like, it's just such a brilliant way to look at it. And really, like, you know, just everyone breathe, calm down. Everyone's going through something. Life is fucking crazy.
It is.
And just for real, be nice to each other. That's another cheesy thing, but, like, I mean, we're all here. We're all worthy of everything. And there's enough for all of us to achieve, you know, enough for all of us. And be creative. Be creative, because we are creative. We are humans are creative beings. Amazing. And if you're not being creative, then you won't get to feel how wonderful that feels to be creative and be like, okay, you know, this is good. This is awesome. So, yeah. But anyway, awesome. All right, we could go on and
Thank
on.
Thank you. Say no, I know. I'm like, okay, let's, no, we will. We will go on and on. And I will see you again. We'll patch out for now. But thank you for spending time with me just sharing space with me. And if, like I said, come back, and I'm sure that folks will hunt you down after this, and I'll keep folks posted on what you're up to. So,
yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I have hopefully some fun things coming up this fall. So I'm going to be doing tons of auditions, which I'm excited about.
Cool.
And yeah, the ones facing your fears and going for your dreams, you won't reach them unless you face your fears, and it's going to feel uncomfortable, but it's not the rejections I'm scared about, because there's going to be millions, but it's the job you get. It's like, can you be out here? You're like, wait, I'm a mom, but you know what?
I can't wait.
Moms can do it all. We're magic.
Knowing that you're up against it and you're pushing, that's cool. I'm cheering you on loud and clear.
It's fun. It's fun. It's a fun, fun journey that I'm on, and I'm enjoying every day of it. It's great.
Thanks for sharing some of it with me.
Yeah, thank you.